Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm joined this afternoon by Sri Devi, who is here with us for the very exciting purpose of kicking off the 2014 Bridgewalk season. Welcome, Sri Devi.
Thank you, Jen. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. It's fun, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun.
So I have to start by saying just a great big thank you, and it feels like a testament to the Upping Our Game year that, you know, the incredible support that we're being given by practice in all the various ways, and folks like you stepping forward to really taking advantage of that, upping your own game, and then being able to step into something like the opportunity to steward the Bridgewalk, for which we are deeply, deeply grateful. So I just wanted to start with that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, that is, it's been such a joy and to get to work with Sangha and the monastery on this, that it's one of those things that as much gratitude is being expressed to me, I can't even share how exciting it is for me to be a part of all of this and just to be able to deepen the participation.
Yeah, and that's the win-win of it, isn't it? That we really, everyone gets to benefit from it.
Yes.
So I wonder maybe you could start us off by telling us about the theme for this year.
Absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, we've been talking this year. The focus has been on upping your game and such great metaphors around sports and sports analogies, and what a wonderful way to think about practice and the work that we're doing as we're all these. That's kind of where it started, was this idea of teammates on the field and just this idea of why we're all doing this together. And so the theme that kind of dropped in for all of us was why we walk together. And it's really exciting to really actually have the opportunity through the lens of practice to get to explore that. I know, at least for myself, of, you know, what it is to participate and to make these wonderful choices and have these wonderful opportunities to participate together. And in relationship to the Bridgewalk and to the Africa Project, why we're doing this work together.
Yeah. You know, you really laid it out so beautifully. And as we've been evolving the theme and kind of putting the various components together, we've been talking a lot about the practice principle behind that. Do you want to say a little bit about that before I throw in my two cents?
Yeah. I mean, what really I think has been resonating around the practice principle is the idea of Sangha. And how, you know, being a part of Sangha and doing this practice together and that ability and that spirit of participation, and how when we, I think, we talk about, or, you know, what I've often heard, more than we would do for,
I don't know if it's true for Michael, but you're cutting out a tiny bit here and there for me.
Yeah, I'm having the same experience.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to move and see if that helps. Let me know.
We'll let you know if there continues to be a problem.
Okay, wonderful.
So maybe you can say that last sentence or two, if you remember it.
Sure. So just this idea of Sangha and the spirit of coming together as a Sangha, as we practice together, what really, you know, the principle behind what we're be willing to do for others more often than we're willing to do for ourselves. So as a collective Sangha, how we are able to come together and have this ability to support this work that supports our practice, as well as this great project in Africa together, and what that means to do that as a collective community.
Yes, yeah. You know, we recently had an at-home workshop, perhaps some folks who are listening participated in, related to the year-long theme, and it was really around this theme of, as you just said, what we often say in practice, we will do for the love of others what we would not be willing to do for ourselves, and that's really one of the great gifts that I think the project in Kantawomba offers to us as a Sangha, that it's so clear, you know, it's so easy to project that goodness, that sweetness onto these adorable children that some of us have the great fortune of spending time with, but that everyone can see pictures of on the blog and that sort of thing. And it's so obvious that they're just these little, you know, wonderful expressions of life in form. And so that motivation to do what we do in this time of the year in practice is so easy to do because it's connected with that innocence, that sweetness, that joy that we see in the kids in Cantalumba. And what it feels like, it provides us an annual opportunity to kind of experience that, what that feels like. And then potentially the movement we were talking about in that at-home workshop is then bringing that back home, you know, and literally inside of ourselves and feeling what that feels like to just be willing to practice out of that deep love and to bring that love, yes, for the children in Cantalumba, for all of life and for this person that we are stewarding, you know, this person ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you said it perfectly. I mean, that exactly, it's, you know, for me, you know, that's exactly this the excitement of being able to participate in this way is how it all connects with each other, not only with the community in Cantalumba, but with the community here in the States of Sangha around the world and those, all of, and the community within myself.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yeah. So there's a particular invitation to create a practice around it for the next period of time leading up to the walk.
Yes. For those who were able to participate in the most recent email class that looked at fitness and nutrition, and for everyone who's kind of been participating, or maybe even people who are just kind of hearing about it now, we have this really exciting invitation, which is we are inviting people to commit to a fitness goal or nutrition goal, have you, for the next 60 days, which is just about the amount of time, believe it or not, up until the walk, and to make that commitment for yourself in the goal of, you know, how we care for ourselves and care for our bodies, which we've been looking at quite a lot this year. And along with that, inviting people to think about, if you'd like to further that, a way to tie it in with the campaign and the fundraiser specifically is link it to a fundraising goal. So perhaps, for example, you make a commitment to walk 5,000 or 10,000 steps a day. Perhaps you ask family or friends to sponsor you for, you know, how many miles you walk. I think 5,000 miles is about 5,000 steps is about 2.5 miles, mm-hmm. I believe. So, you know, maybe people pledge a certain amount of money for or maybe it's for every step that you walk. So a real great way to connect your own practice with the larger fundraising goals of the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Again, kind of that, I confess I've begun myself. And so it really, it's pretty amazing, actually. You know, so there I am, I've got my goal. And some days it's so easy to do it, maybe just because I have an active day and I don't even really have to think about it. Or some days it's easy to do it because I really want to do it. I'm really connected with that desire. Some days it's not as easy because it's a busy day maybe in front of my computer and maybe it's hot and I don't really feel like it, you know, with big quotes around it. But I always can connect back in with, you know what? It's for the kids in Cantalumba. I can do it. If they can do it, you know, what they're up against, if they can do it, I can go that extra, whatever it is, you know, 500 more miles that I mean, excuse me, 500 more steps that I need at the end of my day. It's really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's so wonderful about the way that this is unfolding within, of course, you know, the world of practice is, you know, there's a commitment that you can make to yourself. There's a way that you can link it to a fundraising goal. And the other thing that I really love that, you know, is going to be on, will be on our website page is factoring recording and listening into it, which, of course, I completely love. So being able to record and listen about what you're seeing about your commitment. Also being able to make a recording or listening about what is inspiring you to commit, what that commitment is that you can listen to every morning, you know, when maybe those voices are trying to talk you out of it. You just stick in that recorder and you get to listen to, I'm doing this, I'm walking because.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we really want to encourage Sangha to do is send in those, what inspires them to make this commitment and what that commitment is so we can, so they can kind of share that, which we will post. It's somewhat in the next couple of weeks as we start getting them in on a website so you can see what Sangha is doing, what are the commitments they're making, what about the Africa Project or anything else that's going on is inspiring them to participate.
Yeah. So that segues nicely into the just letting folks know that there will be a number of really fun elements to the campaign, one of them being the an invitation to participate, which if it's not already live on the website, it will be very, very soon. I think just a few last little links are being added to it. And then as the campaign builds, there are more elements that are going to be added to that will be available from that same page to link to. And you referenced one of them, which is people sharing, talking about what their commitment is and what they're seeing about that. And there'll be stories, I think, too, from various folks who are integrally involved in the project coming out in a newsletter, talking about what it is that motivates them to participate. So there are a lot of really fun elements of the campaign that are going to unfold as we go forward.
Yeah. I think the newsletter, I think the first one we're set to launch this Friday is, I have to say, one of my favorite elements because it's kind of all there. You're going to get it on a weekly basis. You're going to hear stories about why, as you mentioned, different Sangha are choosing to walk. You're going to learn about particular focuses that we are fundraising focuses that we are going to talk about in just a second. You're going to hear from Sangha who have sent in stories about or what inspires them to commit. So it's like going to be this amazing, wonderful smorgasbord in this newsletter.
Yeah. And they're beautiful. I've seen the mock-up of one, and it's gorgeous as usual. So, yeah. So one thing before we go on to the goals for where all these funds will go for the year, I love the overarching Sangha goal for how many steps. Maybe you can say a word about that.
Yeah. Well, so through technology, through Google Maps, I believe it is about 52 million steps from San Francisco to Ndola in Zambia, where Kanchelamba is. So that's overarching goal, that is walking 52 million steps to meet our fellow Sangha across the ocean.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited to see, and it's been something that I've heard about for years, can we track who's walking and where they're walking and how many steps they're walking? So I'm really excited that I think, we'll see how that all unfolds as we go into this campaign season and as people, pick their fitness goals. And of course, as we mentioned, the walking 5,000 or 10,000 or however many steps a day all gets to contribute. And of course, if you are able to join us in San Francisco on Saturday, October 4th, there's 18,000 automatic steps you get right there for doing that walk.
Perfect. And all the information about signing up, whether you can be with us in person or not, it will be on that same invitation website page.
And I know that so many people around the country who aren't able to be with us do their own walks,
exactly.
So they can walk 18,000 or more steps wherever they are.
That's perfect. And I just want to say the 52 million, when I first saw it, I thought, that's just crazy. That's so far. And it is. It's a ton of steps. But it actually is doable. I did the math in looking at what, for example, my goal is. And I realized if we got, a good number of people who were getting out there and really doing a lot, several thousand steps every day, we could really do it. So it's a fun kind of challenge for us.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I had the same exact reaction. But then I was like, wait a sec, with this Sangha, it's totally possible.
Yeah, exactly. So we are over time, but I do just quickly, maybe we can, I wonder, Sridevi, what we might do is just let folks know that there's a beautiful little sort of chart that's coming out with all the information on the Bridgewalk that's laying out the various areas that will be funded. And I'll bet you at some point during the campaign we could come back and talk a little bit more about that on another Good News Update. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so, so much for being with us this afternoon. And I just can't wait for all of it, and especially the big day at Chrissy Field on October 4th.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Sridevi. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sridevi. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Well, that was exciting.
Wasn't it? You going to be at the Bridgewalk, you think?
Yes, every year since it started. For the rest
too.
Of my life. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I got my, I'm pretty excited about it, just generally speaking, and I love the work in Cantaloupe, but when the gals, the reference was made to, if those folks in Cantaloupe can do what they do every day, I can get out there every day and get those steps.
Yes.
Yeah, because the comparison, there's just, when Jen's talking about it, it's too hot here, and then I think about the kind of heat that those folks live in, and you know, they have to schlep however far, and if they're part of our organization, then they can get clean water at the end of it. Most people are going around in unbelievable heat through a lot of the year, and there is no fresh water, and there's certainly no electricity for any kinds of fans or things like that. So whatever day anything might try to stop me from going out there and doing my part, I just get a little picture of that and say, oh, no. Here I go. Put on my little shoes and away we go.
That's a great idea, because I have pictures of those kids from previous years, and I could just put them up on the fridge. And,
yes.
That'll remind me.
Yes, yeah. Here's why we're walking together.
And I was just doing the math again as Jen was talking and reached the same conclusion that it's totally doable.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I confess I didn't. When I saw that number, I said, now somebody has done the math because that sounds like an awful lot of steps. So good. And I was reassured then that, yes, people had done the math. So,
yeah.
It's a wonderful time for us because, as Sri Devi says, you know, with Google Maps and all of the technology we have available to us, you know, we can figure those sorts of things out, and then we can go on out there and get them done.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, I can only guess that there's going to be a place for us to log our steps online and see the numbers go up and up and up, and that'll be
I bet
exciting.
So. I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. And one, the thing that people also perhaps are aware of, and Jen and Sridevi were talking about, is the part that's exciting to me is the possibility of a fitness goal for everybody in the Sangha. Because you know it's an interesting thing to consider that we're doing this to help people have enough to eat every day to stay alive, and we. So many of us struggle with weight because we have way too much to eat, and we tend to eat way too much. And so for us to be doing the fitness and the nutrition and fitness goal as part of what we're doing, and then the proceeds from that go to making sure that they have enough to eat and that the kids especially have enough to keep their brains going so they can go to school and get the grades and pass the tests and go to college and get good jobs and you know, like that. So it is a wonderful partnership.
Yeah, it's great. It's just great. I'm very excited to have the launch, and all the aspects of it is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's only part of what's going on, right?
No kidding.
Because there's something else I bet you're going to talk about that's coming right on up that fits really beautifully with this, huh?
Yes, and you don't want to get bamboozled over that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exposing the Big Bamboozle email class is still open for registration. The month-long class uncovers the secrets of the conditioned machine and begins August 1st, which is this Friday.
Yes, and... again, the exciting part of that for me is that we're going to be exploring in the email class exactly what a lot of folks are going to be running into, attempting to keep their commitments and participate in the Cantaloupe adventure and all of that. So it's we're just really closing all those doors on egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
It's great.
It really is. Yeah, it really is.
Finally.
Good time. Yeah, finally. No kidding. They've had access long enough.
Yes. And I have some news about being on the road. Jen will be in Athens, Georgia on August 16th for the Joy of Freedom and Acceptance workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Sherry, and Ashwini will be in Dayton, Ohio on August 30th for the one-day workshop entitled How to Have It All.
Mm-hmm.
So great chance to connect with Sangha in Georgia and Ohio, and I know there are a lot of states nearby that people could make an easy trek in from.
That's right, and people can also, of course, I think that there are still places available in the Eightfold Path Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and that's a good one. If we can judge by the last time we were there, there's good food, it's a beautiful spot, I get to talk to people every day in guidance, they have great workshops, and so, you know, sign up for that one. And then Ashwini and I are going to be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania right after that retreat. I can't remember what the date is, but so yeah, lots of ways to connect.
Great. And all of that info and more is at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And a reminder, if you'd like to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with you, Sherry, you want to press *6 and then 1 on your phone. And if you can keep it to one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
Let's go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Susan.
Well, hello, Susan. How are you?
Yes. I'm so surprised I got on.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a long time for me anyway.
Yes. I mostly just, you know, wanted to check in, and it's so exciting to get on. I've tried several times before, but somehow or another didn't manage to get on, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, give us an update. How's practice? How's life?
Practice is great, fabulous, I'm doing really well as far as upping my game. I'm getting into really great shape over the summertime. That was kind of my goal, and I've been taking a lot of yoga classes and just feeling really healthy and vibrant and happy and excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is good to hear, because I know we've talked in the past, and that didn't seem like you were going to be giving that report anytime soon.
So yeah.
We could file this one under practice works, couldn't we?
Definitely practice works. And I guess I'm kind of finding myself, I was talking to my coach yesterday about it, it's just thinking that the life I was leading, it was almost like a drama that was at this point kind of unbelievable. And this conditioned life that now I'm almost a bit incredulous how I even managed to cope with.
Yeah, how you survived it.
And how I survived it.
Yeah.
And I guess I really see how I was primed for it since childhood. I mean, I see how conditioning operates on such subtle levels to condition a human being to endure and cope with things that doesn't have to be how life is.
Yes, and in fact, isn't how life is, huh?
It isn't how life is, and so.
Yeah. And one other point with that you're making, but I want to just underline it, is that we desperately cling to this often very unhappy life, as if it's good or desirable, or what we really deeply believe it's what we want, even though we are unutterably miserable in it.
Yeah, it was like it was. I think I saw it as my karmic challenge that I was going to rise up to and overcome, or some kind of, I guess, nonsense.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really big. I bet a lot of people, if they're paying attention, would be nodding right now, right? That, yeah, I get voices that, yes, I'm unhappy. Yes, this is really difficult. Yes, okay, it's impossible. But what I need to do is rise above it. I need to be all right in these. I need to find a way to be happy, even though
it's impossible.
Right. Well, and no darn reason for it.
What I am kind of shocked about, actually, is how pleasant life is.
You mean those crazy Buddhists were right after all?
It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I can choose to be around pleasant people and have pleasant experiences and kind people and experience kindness and just go about my day without being, well, I guess, harassed.
Yeah. And through that, you get to see what a kind person you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, and that there actually has never been anything wrong with me. It was really conditioning that was keeping me in this hamster wheel of improvement and endurance.
So you're really flawed, but if you keep working at it and keep trying harder, maybe someday you'll get to the point of being all right, and then you'll have a happy life. Little hamster, come on, run faster.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I love it. We can't say a happy ending because it's not the end. Who knows what's possible? But just to reach this place of happiness and well-being and pleasure in life, and I would bet gratitude for all you've seen and the places you've been and where you are now.
Yeah. And I know at times I feel like, oh my gosh, if I could have done this 30 years ago, or, you know.
But we can't.
But I can't. And
no, and we couldn't. If we could have, we would have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just another ploy to get us back again, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess over and over again, I feel like, you know, just like what you said about the focus of your attention, and it's like there is no room for focusing on anything other than life and possibilities. Any of that other, there's just not room for it.
Yeah. It'll lead to suffering.
Yeah.
I just read something recently where this person was had an awakening experience, I suppose we could call it, and saw in that experience that all of the world, all of life, and especially all human beings, are goodness. Mm-hmm. And this person referred to it as evil, but the we could say egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is superficial. It's added on. It's a layer. It's kind of like a coat of paint on a building. It doesn't have anything to do with the structure. It wasn't there in the beginning. It's not holding anything up or holding anything together. It's just superficial. And to realize that, then we really don't want to give it any more of our attention.
Yeah. I mean, it is so amazing how all of the beauty is right here, right now. It's a matter of seeing it and not being.
Yes. Yes. Get out of it when you get out of the conversation.
Yeah. So I guess I was thinking just about congruence in life and trying to fine tune. I don't know if that's even possible. Fine tuning, maybe growth tuning, is more maybe where I'm at. But just trying to bring more and more of my life into that light place is really what I want to do.
Yes, yes. So as we experience that compassion that we know is the authentic nature of all of life. And then we start looking for, well, what's been kept outside of that compassion? And we just bring it in. We don't even have to attend to it, right? We don't have to go into a conversation about whatever it is. We just, whatever is there, we just keep our attention on compassion, and then it's welcome to be there.
And that goes along with not putting the attention on, well, what am I lacking? Where is it?
Right.
Where, what am
we
I
just
doing?
We just don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what is wrong with me, really, so I can fix that?
Exactly. Or the thing that it tried to get you with, well, but, you know, you could have done this 30 years ago and think how wonderful your life would. Nope, we don't do that. I want to live in the compassion and gratitude for the compassion that is this moment. That's it. Yeah. I don't want any attention to stray off into anything else, because if I do, I'll miss this, and this is where I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then everything else can be there. Everything can come in. It's a very large and expanding place that welcomes everything. And, of course, the things that we've been escaping, we don't really have to welcome them in because they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that suffering doesn't want to come in and be embraced in compassion. It wants us to go out and suffer with it, and we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm so glad you got through. I'm so glad I got to speak with you this evening and to hear this good news.
Yes, and thank you so much. And if there's anything you could suggest to me as
yes, there is. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Yeah. Stay with thank you and the compassion of the moment. There's no improvement needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I got some additional information about the Bridgewalk invitation.
What'd you find out?
And that is that you can find it under the Africa tab of the Living Compassion website, and it's labeled The Invitation.
Fun.
Yeah. So Living Compassion website, Africa tab, The Invitation.
Wow. All right.
Very exciting. I'm going there right now. I
was going to say, Michael, I'm going to stay with this, and then when this is over, then I'll go.
Yes, the compassion of the moment, I think, is how you phrased it first, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Here we go.
Okay, let's talk to our next caller.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Laura from San Diego.
Hi.
Hey, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. What's going on?
So I'm really glad to be on because I have been so I'm on vacation, so my Tuesdays are available, and so I had just made it a plan that for the next two Tuesdays I'm going to call, and conditioning just totally has been like up in arms about me calling. And
How could you even consider doing such a ridiculous thing? Is it because you're on vacation? You shouldn't do this when you're on vacation?
It's kind of one of those things. I was listening to the archive last night, and a lot of people were talking about shame, right, and wanting to keep things secret.
Mm.
And it's a real theme that I find goes on for me in regards to practice of when practice doesn't look a certain way. It gives conditioning a lot of ammunition to talk with me about how it's not going well, and I definitely don't want to make that public, and so being on vacation, it's funny, it's really not I consider it a family trip because I'm visiting family.
Uh-huh.
So I'm up here with
which is not the same as a vacation, isn't it? I'm right there with you. Uh-huh. Family trip.
I love everyone dearly, and I found myself in the stop, drop, and text. It's like I feel like I lost practice. Like I'm here with all of these people that I love, and I know they love me, and finding myself completely lost in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my cushion, you know. So I was on the plane and had this idea of when I got here, I was going to create a practice plan for a vacation. Like, how was I going to bring practice with me? And that just never happened until about 30 minutes ago. I finally made my plan, and I got here actually on Friday. So from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, up until last night, I listened to an archive, and I felt like that got me back on, you know, just in the... I guess it'd be in the light room when you talk about it from that framework. And it was like I knew practice was available and I just couldn't put my arm out and grab it. You know, it was there, it was hovering all around me. I could see it. But then the moment I saw it, I was back in to whatever was going on with my family, you know.
Go ahead. Can I ask you something about that?
Yes.
Have you been unhappy?
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. I think no. If I get out of the conversation about what this should look like.
Uh huh. There, I think we're closing in on something, right? Yeah, because you're there. This is a time you've set aside to be with these people that you love. It's not time that you're going to go off and go on retreat. It's not time that maybe, you know, you and somebody go to a beach somewhere. It's not that. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. And without that conversation about, well, you're not doing this, and you're not practicing, and that means this, and that means that, then what you would do is be where you are.
Hmm.
I have a sense that you're paying attention.
Yeah.
You know what's going on, right? You're actually watching. You're probably watching karmic reactions and watching things that come from center and loving people and being loved. And so you're present with all of that. The only difficulty, and I would say we could all learn this for ourselves, the only difficulty is that there's a conversation about something being wrong. And because it's using practice as the content, you'll fall for it.
Totally. I so was not expecting you to say anything like that. Huh. I didn't know what you were going to say, but that was definitely not what I was expecting. Huh. Yeah, I could totally see how I absolutely fell for it, because it's like it was in the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what it says, Laura, is how deep your practice is, how sincere you are about it, because that's what it can get you with.
Yeah.
Can you see that? It's something that's really important to you. You want to give it your best. You want to do well in this area. So that's where it can sneak in and get you.
Yeah. You know, since I started with the Zen Awareness Coach in, I think, in October, and since then, and, you know, just got off retreat a couple of weeks ago, and I just have the shift of, it feels like practice used to be something that I scheduled. Like, you know, I could have conversations about it, but it felt like something I did versus I want it to just be my life.
Mm-hmm. It's just who you are.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I was trying to text in the with my partner out there in the universe was, it felt like I wasn't, like, you know, I kept saying, like, I don't know where the person who practice is. And I was getting feedback, something around what you're saying of, is the person who's asking the person who practices.
Right. That's very good, isn't it? That's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it answers all of those questions. I think I was texting, like, how do I practice in chaos and with people who I don't know how to have, like, practice conversations with? Because it does feel like it's an either-or, and conditioning had me in this, you know, we live lives so differently. Like, the person who practices can't exist there.
Uh-huh. And yet, if you were to say this person who practices, so for me, my whole be-all, end-all is unconditional love, right? That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to, all right? So what would you say your kind of practice thing is?
So what came up for me was just, I just want to be at peace with whatever's present.
There you go. And that doesn't require being a particular way, does it? It doesn't dictate activity. Nothing. In fact, it's really quite lovely, because being at peace with everything exactly as it is, okay, you don't have to worry about how things are. You're just focusing on being there and being at peace with it, saying yes to life.
Yeah.
Now, of course, conditioning is going to come in with, whoa, that you're not being very peaceful. That's not peaceful. You know, we can just know that, right? And that's the conversation we don't get into.
Yeah.
Because it's only designed to make you feel not peaceful.
Yeah. Well, and the recording, I finally recorded today, and gosh, I just love recording and listening. It just is such a, what I came to was that everything that is showing up right now is showing up for me to see so that I can bring compassion to it.
Exactly.
You know, versus a mistake or a, you know,
that's right.
I'm doing it wrong.
That's right. So again, karmic conditioning would say you have to practice in this way all the time. Mm. Well, that's great, because it's got you in a little tiny box that you probably can't actually be in except for a few minutes out of every week, right? And so then everything else is a mistake. Everything else is wrong. But that's not true, because all we're practicing is awareness. And so actually we want to be in every situation that we can be in so that we see where karmic conditioning resides in that situation so that we can embrace it in unconditional love or be at peace with the fact that this is going on or,
Yeah, it just feels like a whole weight just kind of lifted and yeah, being able to just practice peace, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have the extra added attraction that it's a loving situation. Maybe chaotic, but it's loving.
yeah. There's no ill will here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just was on a family trip recently, and and I know exactly the place of chaos. You know, it's like you get up in the morning and it's just kids running and screaming and doing all of these things that no adult in their right mind would ever choose to do, and that all the kids are loving, and it, it is. It's just chaos. But there's a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of fun when we just relax into it and say, this is what we're doing right now. This is what we're doing.
Well, I love that. I feel like that's a great direction to just bring my attention to and practice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a relief for everybody, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, go have fun then, huh?
Thank you so much. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk to more callers.
Very good.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Linda from Alabama.
Wow. Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Let's see. Way much.
But not, yeah, I
but not
that.
Yeah, at the same time, not that much. I don't know. I guess I'll try with a sort of an update, and then kind of what I'm looking at right now with my situation. So if you remember, my mom lost her memory, and she's now living in an assisted living center in the same town I do, which before she lived 4 hours away. So, and my dad died, and so I'm doing a lot better. But I'm still not doing, you know, I still have days where I do really bad. But I guess what I'm looking at, there's so many different things I could talk about. But I think what I'm kind of looking at right now is accepting her for who she is now, and not more, you know, sort of not that I can just automatically stop mourning the fact that she's not who she was. But does that make sense as a question?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's the comparison that kills us, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, Linda, there's another aspect of that that just dropped in when you said that. So I would grieve the loss of somebody. So in this case, you know, somebody I love who has Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever. And I'm constantly comparing who they are now to who they were then, and as if who they were then was actually who they were.
Right.
Right? So your mother, I would bet, if we could do some kind of a tricky technological thing, and we could see every year of your life with your mother,
right,
then we would see your mother changing dramatically through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at some point, you know, conditioned mind puts it together and says, all right, here's the composite. This is who my mother was, and now that's what we're going to compare to who she is now. But, you know, she is now and always has been who she is.
True. Okay. I like that. She is now and always has been who she is. Right.
So a more interesting place to look might be at the person who is looking at her.
Right. And what eyes I'm looking at her through, kind of, like which which personality or... there sure seems to be a lot of them when it comes to this issue.
Yes, yes. And because whoever is there, we always feel like that's me.
Right.
Then it's harder for us to catch on to, well, let's look at what I'm projecting and then use that projection as a mirror to kind of see who's operating me right now.
So, like, the projection would be, I can't think of what a projection would be.
Well, I might do, oh, it's so sad. You know, it's so sad that she can't, whatever it is. It's,
right,
it's
that
so
we can't travel or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's so sad that, okay, so is it sad? Well, for the person who's saying that.
The person that wanted to do that.
Yes.
Well,
that person would only have that view, right?
Say it again?
That person would only have that view.
Right. They can't see the other view where isn't it great that we can do what we can do?
Precisely.
Right. So how do I try to help that person or do I just sort of go, okay, you're not me, so...
It's an interesting one because in awareness practice, of course, we want to, be aware of everything that we can. So is that somebody who really feels that loss and for you and everybody listening to this, it's how we get set up, right? So we don't do things when it's possible to do them. We get talked out of doing them because we're too busy or we this or we that or whatever. And then when that time is over, when it's too late, then we live in regret for the fact of what we didn't do. So we can all learn from that.
Right.
If there's something we want to do, now would be the time to do it.
To do it, yeah.
Yeah. And it really is the time to do it because this is the time that it's coming up to do it. And then we get talked out of that, and that's the setup for regret later on. So is it... If that person is really sad about that, if that's a legitimate person who's really sad, it could be helpful to let her record about that, how she feels, and then do that exercise that we like to do where, she talks about everything that she's feeling and you listen. You listen to what she says, you play it back, and then you let the mentor talk to her about whatever, and let that wisdom be available. If she's being used by karmic conditioning to further suffering, then you want to save her from that. She doesn't have to live in a conversation of all that she's lost or didn't take advantage of or whatever. And with that, you could talk with her about all of the things that she did with her mother and the great times that they had and the things that they enjoyed and help her to see the have side rather than the have not side of the situation.
Right. Conditioning is coming in the back of my head right now. But I see what you're saying. Yeah.
What does it have to say?
Well, my dad was sick for a really long time, and my mom would not, ever let anybody else take care of him. So that, I guess before that, we must have traveled. She and I went to see my sister in Germany. We went and saw her in Maryland. I mean, she and I did stuff together. And then once Dad got sick, it was like, that was it. It was over. And I always thought, when he passes away, we'll get to do stuff again. And then he passed away, and she can't, it's not like she can't do anything, but. I'm not sure how all that's going to work as far as taking her places. So, a few minutes ago and before I actually was talking to you, it's like I almost felt a little bit anger at her about that she, that she wouldn't, ever put him in a rehab facility for a little bit of time or ever do anything except just, that it was he. But no, I don't. But I understand completely, too. Or I guess it doesn't matter, or I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, there's somebody whose feelings are hurt over that.
Yeah.
Right? And we can
talk to her and mentor her and say, Exactly. Well, look what we are getting to do. I mean, we spent the whole day Sunday, you know, swimming and barbecue, and I have some friends that even come hang, you know, that like my mom, and they hang out with us, and, you know, we had a great day. So concentrate on that.
Exactly. And that's that place where karmic conditioning will begin to use somebody, you know, get them in a conversation about all that loss and get
right.
the attention focused there instead of, as you say, we're still having fun.
Right.
You know, the other thing about it is that we will often lose sight of this. So I want, you know, I want this person that I love, you know, I want my sister to spend more time with me and to do things with me, but she always chooses her family over me.
Right.
Well, if I really look at it honestly, I'm constantly choosing what I choose over her.
Right. We all do that, yeah.
We all do that. And
right.
then there's been, you know, my feelings get hurt because she's disappointed me. I lose sight of the fact that I've probably disappointed her easily as many times as she's disappointed me. And that's just something we do as human beings.
Right. Very good. Okay.
Lots of places to kind of take it apart and enjoy it, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And just to reiterate, I am actually doing a lot better. I mean, another thing, that just real quick thing, is that it amazes me that when I feel better, I realize that all that time I felt bad, and I was sort of berating myself or trying to talk myself into feeling better, and I really wasn't okay. You know, I really was grieving or whatever. It wasn't like I was just lazy or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And isn't that good to see? And I hope that, again, this is one of those places that you spend some time giving that person that information.
Right. And put it on the recorder so I can remember it.
Yes. Yes. Because she probably got a fair amount of the other information that wasn't legitimate, and so make up for those lapses. And that's all part of it too, right? Because you were doing the best that you could to survive a very, very difficult circumstance.
Right.
And you did survive it, and she survived it, and everybody did really well. And now
right.
it's time to go back and get really clear about what was going on and what was true about that and how well we did. And let's feel good about that.
How well we all did, yeah. Very good. I like that. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I did do a great
yeah.
job of taking care of my dad, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
It's Diane going from Santa Rosa. I just wanted to say I'm here and I'm messing with conditioning, but I don't have any questions.
I see. All right.
So I noticed that not pressing *6 was putting me in a certain, was giving conditioning a hand over. So I pressed *6.
Good for you.
But I want to let people speak.
Just to show that you can, that you're
That's
in charge.
Right.
That's right. You're not going to bully me. If I want to press *6, I will. Here I go.
That's
Boom.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Good for you. All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. Okay, and we have another caller here.
Dion. Yeah.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Jill!
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm doing good. You too. Well, that's so funny because I was sure I was going to get on the last time he said you're, you know, next caller, and then I got on anyway because of that person.
Right. Was just showing conditioning who's boss.
I know.
Which is a very good thing for us to do with some regularity.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm a big fan of that. Well, what motivated me to call tonight was this thing happened today that happens occasionally, and I thought it would be a good question to ask you. Well, sometimes what happens to me is I'll be reading something about the news or, I'll just encounter something that it feels like triggers this sadness. And it feels like this pool of sadness that is just now overflowing, and it all just has to come out. It feels so. Today, when it happened, I was sitting in front of my computer at work with my coworker, and it was just one of those things that felt like, oh, here is that thing again. Like, I'm not really sure what to do about this. Because it feels like something that is presenting itself where I have a choice to sort of move into it or not. And that's not exactly true. Like, I guess it expresses itself like a little bit. It feels like a little bit, but it feels like if I move into it, it will just sort of, really open up. And take over. And so at that moment, I just moved my attention away from it, and I was like, oh, well, there is that thing again. And then it sort of starts to feel like I have a rock in my shoe. Like, it's just this thing that's sort of there, I'm not sure exactly how to attend to it, if I, need to put my attention on it or not. And so I, later that day, I was outside on my own, and I thought, okay, well, I'll put my attention on it and just see, where we're at with it. And it was the same thing. Like, it just this well of emotion, like tears. And the content today was just the news. Like, the news, I have to read a lot of the news for my job. And, there was just this a couple 1-2 punch that I was just like, that's it. Like, it just hit me, sometimes it feels like that this is just a well of like built up sort of news related sadness that is coming out, or just like these little tiny pieces that sort of get stockpiled and sort of come out. But
go ahead.
Well, the other piece of it I was going to say, and I just noticed while someone else was on the call talking, so this was really helpful, was that, I also notice I have this story around my relationship to emotion, and that, like, I don't know what emotion is, I don't know how to handle it, I'm not an emotional person, like, and so I remembered earlier today when that sadness sort of came up, there was this sort of sense of, like, it's like when someone suddenly hands you a baby and you've never held a baby before, you're like, I don't know what to do with this, and so I guess that played into sort of my, experience with it too. So it just felt like that there was a lot going on with it. But I guess the main question was, like, I didn't know if I should move into it or not. Like, it felt like I could move into it and sort of let it go, or, put my attention somewhere else. I wasn't really sure how to work with it.
And it sounds like, so this is a somewhat regular thing. I mean, periodically, this happens.
Yeah, once every couple months, I guess I would say.
And it feels like there's this well of emotion that it gets to a certain level and would like to spill over.
Yes.
Okay. And then what generally happens, it sounds like, is somebody gets into that, and of course, it's really difficult when you're sitting there with a coworker at your computer at work, right? Because we all have lots of, this is not a good time for this to happen. And yet, as you say, it is where it happens for you, because what brings it on is the sadness of the kinds of things that you're learning about people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it very likely is going to happen there. And then there's no way to deal with it, because that person just kind of gets shut down, because you got to do the appropriate thing, and then another 2 months goes by.
Right.
So what just occurred to me when you were talking was a little experiment. And that would be to kind of do what it says in the depression book about how to be with depression. But the version would be that to find something that you find sad. You know, movies are often really good at that. And you make a date. You know, you rent the movie and you sit down and you watch it and you let that person who has those feelings, those we could say tender feelings, have an experience of that. And then you're there to be the support person, to ask the questions, to, you know, all of that, the way you would be if you were with somebody else who was having this kind of experience.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's great, and I feel like I could do that after this call. Like, I can still feel it sort of hanging out,
yeah.
So I feel like I could access it. But that's so interesting because I sort of look to see where the person was, and it just feels like that there's just like a bag of sadness just like sitting there that somebody just left. And but it sounds like what you're saying is that there is somebody who's connected to that.
Yeah, find out who's carrying the bag of sad around.
Yeah.
Because that's, you want to get to know that process. Right? Because we've established it comes up and somebody's there who's feeling it, but then right behind it is the not right now, not here, and then beyond that, I'm not that kind of person.
Right.
You know, I don't. I'm a person who. So clearly, that's not the person with the bag of sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's giving an opportunity to that aspect of you, if it's an aspect, whatever it is that's going on with that whole deal, to give it some an opportunity to be present and be seen and explored and accepted and embraced and. Like to be made peace with, you know, Jill. It's this little thing that we talk about with relationship, right? So two people are in a relationship, and in the beginning, anytime there's any sort of strife, it's a big deal, right? Because you know it's a big deal. And then after a while, after a few years, something happens, and you just kind of look at each other, and you know it's okay. we're going to survive this, and we'll get home. We'll talk about it. You know, there's that level of familiarity and trust, and that's where we're going with ourselves. So that when that comes up at work, you know what's triggered her. You know how she feels. You know what this. Makes her think about and the places that she goes could be a very a karmic thing in not in the way we usually talk about karma, but very close to a memory of something awful that happened to somebody. And so, you know, you kind of look at each other and know, all right, this evening we're going to have a get together on this one. And cause I want to hear, I want to know what's going on with you. You know, I want to be your support person.
That's so interesting because while you were saying that near the end, I thought maybe I can't see her because I am her. And the bag of sadness is just there because like that's what this person is carrying around. You know what I mean? Like when you were sort of saying like, how does she feel? And, you know, I started to feel, you know, stuff move a little bit like, oh, you're talking to a person like that. Whoever, you know, that is addressed to, that person is felt like, oh, she's here, you know. That's great. That's great. So I'm going to try that for sure.
A new relationship to explore.
A new relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
Good.
Very helpful. Very helpful.
All right.
Thank you,
Sherry. Let me know, would you?
I will. For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Okay.
Thanks, Jill. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. So interesting, Sherry. So many interesting ideas in the show. It's great.
Awareness practice is the deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
There's so much to be aware of and so many ways that we can practice being aware. And they all come down to the same thing, don't they? Embrace it in loving kindness and compassion. there. So that we're always getting to the same place, but there are lots of things to explore and lots of ways to get there. So it is fun.
Mm-hmm. Embrace it in loving kindness.
Yeah.
Everything
whatever it
comes
is.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recipe we can practice with this week, huh?
It is.
Until
it
we
is.
Meet
and
again
then,
here?
Until we meet again, and then we'll get some reports.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks,
Thank you,
Michael.
Sherry. Yep.
Good night.
Good night.